Hey, everybody. Welcome to Defiant Hustle. This is Noreen Ehrlich, and I'm here with my co-host today, Daisy Mello.
Oh, hello, everyone.
Happy Hump Day.
And we've got Josh in the studio with us tonight as the engineer, and we're going to have him working full-time as Daisy and I present for you...
Dum-da-da-dum!
What happened in the world this week and why it matters... It's when Daisy and I choose the news for you, and it's not mainstream, or it could be.
It could be.
It could be. Yeah. And we're going to start out, I think we are starting out with something that could be mainstream.
I think it is mainstream. I think it's something that if you have turned on your television, radio, opened a paper perhaps, like anything. It has been in the news. It is a top story. We are on a shutdown.
A government shutdown.
That's right. A government shutdown. McDonald's is still open 24 hours a day. Have no fear, my friends. So we're on day 26 of the government shutdown. Trump is just, like, not letting go. He is just, he is sitting there and he's like, I mean, whatever you believe. I'm just thinking, whatever you believe, I just envision this, like, child sitting there being like, no, I want my wall.
I want it now,
and I'm not going to give up. So he is, it's been 26 days, the longest in history of ever of a shutdown. And a lot's been going down. People are without work. 100,000 federal workers are not getting paid at this point to work their jobs. And no so conclusion.
There's a potential delay in tax refunds. And the effect of the partial government shutdown could be at least $2 billion per week, according to Wells Fargo analysts.
That's a lot of
money. And it's costing more than the wall would have cost. So. Well,
it's just sad because I'm like, so many things are being affected by it. Like, how about the food you eat? The FDA has not been doing its regular checks. So, you know, we had that whole romaine thing going on before.
What romaine thing?
You know, like, I went to Chipotle. There's no romaine. There's E. coli in the romaine. Now, like, the shutdown, I don't know if there's E. coli just spreading all over my food. I don't know.
They couldn't have been doing that good a job if it was already in there. So maybe
true.
It's better that they're gone.
If you want to go to the National Zoo, well, guess what? You can't because it's closed. And immigration courts, this actually is very sad to me. Immigration courts are closed. So among 43,000 immigration court hearings are being canceled. So these people have been waiting 3 to 4 years potentially for their court hearing. And now it's being delayed even further. So everything is just getting pushed back. And people that are in the federal government that are right now unemployed or not getting paid, they're asking them actually to come back to work. And telling them, get over here. We'll pay you eventually whenever we decide the government's, like, not going to be on our shutdown. So we're going to actually play something.
There's a clip.
From federal workers across the country about the real pain they're experiencing because of the shutdown. But I want you to listen to a senior White House advisor. You pay this man. He's talking about the workers being actually better off.
Huge share of government workers were going to take vacation days, say between Christmas and New Year's. And then we have a shutdown, and so they can't go to work, and so then they have the vacation, but they don't have to use their vacation days. And then they come back, and then they get their back pay, then they're in some sense, they're better off.
So that was Kevin Hassett. He's the economic advisor, is that what he is, in the White House? And he's talking about why it's possibly good for the federal workers that they're not getting paid because they could take a vacation time now.
Oh, good for you. You can take vacation time. Don't worry. Now you can just take vacation time permanently. Meanwhile, these workers, from what I've been seeing in the news, are taking Uber driver jobs.
But I asked you.
What did you ask?
How do you get a job where you're a federal worker one day and become an Uber driver the next day? Can you get an Uber driving job that quickly?
Yeah.
You can. All right. Everybody's saying
you can. If you have four wheels and it runs and it functions, then yeah, you can definitely take an Uber driver. Do you want an Uber driver job?
I'm thinking of it. Oh, I'm Uber Maserati. So, okay, let's move on here. Daisy or what? Josh, have you ever heard of the term, and I'll give you a little hint, it's related to the stock market, and it's both meant to entice and scare. It's referred to as FANG.
What is it?
FANG. You know what it is?
Yeah. No?
I'm going to take a guess.
Okay.
Yeah, go take a guess.
Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, Google stocks.
Very good.
Josh gets brownie points. I thought FANG was like in your mouth, like FANG.
It was supposed to be like that. So, well, these technology stocks, depending on which article you look at and which expert you talk to, are either expected to do poorly or wonderfully in 2019 because there's a lot of ambivalence about them. But one of them that you named, which is Apple, just had a buyback. So they are buying back stock during, I guess they're going through a little bit of an up and down there at Apple. As of October 3rd of 2018, their stock price was at $233, but as of the beginning of January, it was down 33%. And today I looked it up. It was at 155. I think that was as of today or yesterday. And so can you play the clip, Josh?
Let's talk a little bit about this buyback, because like you said, that $100 billion, massive in terms of what they're going to plan to give back. But let's take a step back, because now we can close the history books, or the book at least on some of this history, with regard to why Apple is the biggest talk of the town when it comes to buybacks. Because according to S&P Dow Jones Indices senior index analyst Howard Silverblatt, Apple owns four of the top five biggest quarterly buybacks of all time. Just this past quarter, they spent nearly $23 billion buying back their own shares. That's the number one spot. Number two, Apple again, $18 billion back in Q1 2014. Number three, Apple again, Q3 2014. Number four, Q2 2013, Apple again. The only stock that's not Apple in the top five in terms of biggest quarterly buybacks was IBM way back in 2007 when they bought nearly $16 billion back.
So Apple's been buying back their stock.
But
they're paying as much as $222 for the shares, and apparently their stock price has been fluctuating based on tariff fears and iPhone sales, which are apparently way down. And the purpose of the buyback is, well, it has its benefits because then they have to pay less out in dividends to third parties, and it is reducing the number of shares outstanding. So that is what's going on.
But you also know that Apple's buying back products too.
I don't
know. Oh, you didn't know that. So because you're not,
I'm a Samsung girl.
But you know that they're like, if I have a cracked iPhone net right now, and because they brought out so many products, the X, whatever, the X Plus, the X 50,000, they are now buying back your products so that like you don't have to pay $1,200 for an X. You can now pay, depending on what your product now is worth, like a lesser amount. They'll buy it back and then you can get it as an Apple gift card. So if you have Apple phones or products at your house that are just sitting there, and I think everyone has that drawer that has like all the old phones.
Well,
they're like, what do I do with
this?
Take them all to Apple, because they'll take it and they'll give you a gift certificate for it, which I didn't know that they did that until I did this now. But someone that doesn't even have to worry about that at this point in life, no gift certificates for this woman, is Megyn Kelly. She got a nice big paycheck, not from Apple, but from NBC, for the amount of $30 million.
$30 million. So she, Megyn Kelly,
yep,
who was on Fox News and went over to NBC morning programming,
yep,
was let go from NBC, and she got out of her $69 million contract with $30 million still intact.
Right, and she didn't get out of it. What happened was, if you have watched the news, like 2 or 3 months ago, they were talking about Halloween costumes, and she made a racial.
Oh, it's interpreted as racial.
It was interpreted as racial. It was, she said blackface. That comment went crazy, and it essentially got her kicked off the network and off her show. But that kickoff was a $30 million kickoff. So I don't know what she's going to do. She's 48. She has 3 young children. I don't know if she wants to continue to be in TV. I think she's probably blacklisted at this point.
They make a comeback, but let's hear what Megan had to say when she was, when her comments went viral and she was under attack.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the show. I'm Megyn Kelly, and I want to begin with two words. I'm sorry. You may have heard that yesterday we had a discussion here about political correctness and Halloween costumes. And that conversation turned to whether it is ever okay for a person of one race to dress up as another. A black person making their face lighter or a white person making theirs darker to make a costume complete. I defended the idea, saying as long as it was respectful and part of a Halloween costume, it seemed okay. Well, I was wrong, and I am sorry.
Barbara. I'm going to go with the big fat duh on that one.
Well, no, I wonder. I don't know exactly what was said there, but she was talking. I don't know this one. I don't know if – I think she has also a lot of people she's polarizing.
Yeah, I just – I'm not a fan of her. So I just – I'm like
– I know a lot of women don't like her. I know of many women who feel like she's polarizing. So I think it wouldn't have taken much to knock her out of there. So, because there are a lot of people out there doing a lot worse things, and they got rid of her pretty quickly. So I'm not sure how to interpret that one, but that was Megyn Kelly. I have a story about another Kelly, R. Kelly, the musician, the singer, who just had a Lifetime documentary done on him this week. It was the highest rated show in 2 years on Lifetime, on the Lifetime channel. And it was a 6-part series called Surviving R. Kelly. So R. Kelly is an R&B singer who first came to prominence with the song, and I'm sure you know it. It's called I Believe I Can Fly. But he has been riddled for years with rumors of abuse, predatory behavior, and pedophilia. And he was, in August of 2002, well, prior to that, February 2002, the Chicago police were investigating him for alleged child pornography. He was also in August of 2002 indicted on 21 counts of child pornography. And then he was he had a trial in 2008, but ultimately was acquitted in 2008. He's got sex tape scandals, and this show, I don't know how it came out of nowhere, but this Surviving R. Kelly show on Lifetime. Did you watch it?
I did not, because I do not have cable. That's a sore subject for me, so let's not talk about that. I'm not sure why it came about. I'm glad it did. I think it came about, in my opinion, because of this whole Me Too thing. Not Me Too thing, but it's, you know, it's this revolution that's happening. And I think because he was acquitted in like 18 years ago, people are bringing out this stuff and they're still angry about it, because this man has like this
lengthy.
There were children, and like he has this, all this evidence, and all of a sudden he, you know, he's doing a concert while it's all happening. Like, he doesn't
while
care.
What Daisy's talking about is while this Lifetime series was on last week, R. Kelly is out on tour, and he's doing decently on tour. So apparently a lot of the population doesn't mind this behavior. They just like the music. But there were other celebrities that were on the documentary series, including John Legend and Chance the Rapper, who came out and said very directly, this man is a predator. So, and also another interesting fact is while this series, 6-part series, was on regarding R. Kelly, the National Sex Assault Hotline experienced a 27% increase in calls during airing. So,
oh, I didn't know that. That's amazing. But I do want to play one clip from someone that, if we can, Mr. Josh, that was on the show, and that they asked the question to a lot of the women. They asked him, if you were confronted with him right now, what would you say to him, or what do you want him to learn from this documentary?
Because this can't keep going on. You can't keep doing this, dude.
What would you say to him?
I'd just like you to know that you really hurt me. I was a little girl in, like, a bad man's world. I never really recovered from it. I'm really angry with you for what you're doing. I don't understand it.
Yeah. So that was, like, you know, one of the victims of it. And I think it does play into the Me Too thing. I hate saying that. I keep saying Me Too thing.
The Me Too thing.
The Me Too movement. One other thing that I think happened this week in regards to the Me Too movement, and now you can see it's kind of transitioning from documentaries to even products, right?
Well, yeah. So as this is all coming out into the light, including in this case with R. Kelly, it was pedophilia. So that's, I think, even goes past the Me Too movement.
Yeah.
But it goes into just the plain disgusting underground. Apparently, there's a lot more sex crimes and pedophilia that's out there than we've ever known. But as that's coming into the light, there's organizations that are starting to take a stance on men's behavior. And so why don't we talk about an ad that has been watched by more than 2 million people on YouTube in just 48 hours. And that is if you want to call it an ad, it was a commercial by the company, the razor company, Gillette. And they did a short film called Believe. And it plays where, up until now, Gillette's famous slogan was "the best a man could get." And if you look at the old ads, they sort of make a man out to be, you know, old school man. And now
I am man. Hear me roar.
I'm a man. So now they're replacing it with "the best a man can be." So, Josh, can we play the Gillette commercial that got 2 million views in 48 hours?
Now 2 million and one.
Bullying.
The Me Too movement against sexual harassment.
Toxic masculinity.
Is this the best a man can get? Is it? We can't hide from it.
Sexual harassment is taking over.
It's been going on far too long. We can't laugh it off.
Who's the daddy?
What I actually think she's trying to say.
Making the same old excuses.
Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys.
But something finally changed.
Allegations regarding sexual assault and sexual harassment.
Once, but she says it's a toxic
masculinity. And there will be no going back. Because we believe in the best in men.
Men need to hold other men accountable.
Smile, sweetie.
Come on.
To say the right thing. To act the right way.
Bro, not cool. Not cool.
So, Josh, you're the man in the room.
What are your thoughts? The idea behind that was for men to hold each other accountable. And, Josh, you had said when we walked in here today that you had seen this ad, and you had something to say about that.
Yeah, I get the message that they're trying to say. I've also gotten the message the past year and a half since this Me Too movement started, and I understand it
from Daisy and me.
Not you guys. like just since this has been brought into the light, I understand it. I think that it's common sense for men to be able to realize that this is an important message. But you know, when is enough enough? I think that what they're doing, obviously they have good intentions, but the delivery definitely didn't please a lot of people. It's making masculinity out to be this toxic type of attribute to
men.
You
said there was a big backlash to this.
I'm just looking at the comments and I'm seeing that it's a, you know, for every like that this video has gotten, it's gotten 4 dislikes. It's gotten almost a million people that are apparently, quote unquote, disliking it. It's just like, I understand the boys of today will be the men of tomorrow, and I understand that, and raising your kids right and your moral values, I get that. But there are, all of a sudden, you're going to look down the road in 20 years, and men are going to have a fraction of the, you know, traits that they had today, the good men.
You think so?
I think so. I think the way that our culture is going, that even the good men are going to be hesitant, even if they've never done anything wrong, even if they've never had any, you know, bad intentions towards women.
That's the way you feel?
It's just going to be a little bit. I just think when is enough enough? Do you know what I'm saying?
I think what's happening is if there's a backlash, because this has been going, you know, where men have been in power for centuries, really. So it's probably not enough just yet, because it's the pendulum probably is inevitably going to swing pretty hard in the other direction before everybody just balances out and it becomes a non-issue. So just like anything else, probably you're going to hear more and more about it as people
who have
been quiet about things that happened to them start to speak out.
Yeah.
And it'll be confusing for everybody, and maybe it's not handled right by both sexes, but here's Gillette at least saying actually, I think it's a good thing actually that men hold men accountable instead of it being locker room talk or something like that. There is a positive, whether you like that or not. I do think it's positive, because look, if you're already doing that, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't affect you.
Yeah.
You know, if you're it might make you think twice. So I guess it's worked, because here we are talking about it. But we also have women that may not be that. May have some toxic attributes.
Yeah, we don't want to bash men all the time.
Well, that's another thing. Like, women need to. I know that, you know, men need to hold men accountable. Women also need to hold women accountable in this situation.
Yeah, we definitely.
Because there are, for as many, you know, true stories like the R. Kelly thing, the Harvey Weinstein thing, there are a lot of women that are coming out.
That's actually our next story. Is going to be this one, which is so we do have to hold women accountable. And I will tell you, Josh might not admit to it. Maybe he's done it. I don't know. Noreen has not done it, but it's the online dating scene. I have done it. I admit it. I've been doing it. But I have sent.
She's not on there anymore.
I'm not there anymore. But maybe I've sent like a couple extra texts. But this woman has gone as far as, her name is, what is her name?
Jacqueline Addis.
Okay, Jacqueline Addis.
From Phoenix.
Yeah, so Jacqueline Addis.
31-year-old.
31-year-old from Phoenix, who sent 65,000 texts to a first date saying love is an excessive thing. Now, this woman has taken love to an extreme. She is now going to jail for her extremes and harassment. Let's play. Oh crap.
No.
I screwed up, because they're fantastic.
Wait, you gotta find that clip.
Okay. I screwed up on this. So this woman, I have three clips for it. Josh, damn. I broke the rules.
I broke them.
How about we take a break, and then we're gonna come back to this woman, because I have to play them.
This is the best story in the show.
It's the best story.
This will take women, make women think twice.
Road trip from Florida, looking for, I guess, love. And I was following the number 33. I used to wake up every day and every night at 333. It was always 333. So I kept following the number, and I said, why am I following the number 33? And I spoke to a psychic, and she told me I have the same birth chart as Jesus. So then I said, okay. I look up Jesus. He was 33 when he came to be. So I was like, that's a 33. My left eye.
Oh, she's amazing. So who was that, Noreen?
That is... Oh, where's her name? Wait a minute. You were doing this story, Daisy. Okay, that was 31-year-old Jacqueline Addis from Phoenix, who sent 65,000 texts to a guy she met from online dating.
First,
she had one date with him, and she ended up sending him over 65,000 texts in a span of just a few months.
Now, can we just...
And I can understand.
Well, can we play this one other clip of her? She's like, I can understand that. Can we play the clip starting at 125 of that, of the 65,000? They question her about the 65,000
texts. Where is she?
Texts.
She's at the police station now?
Yeah,
she's being interviewed?
Yeah, she's being interviewed
for
it.
She did go to jail.
Oh, Josh.
He's
just so enamored by her and her personality that he just can't get over it. He's like, why wouldn't that guy love her?
I was looking for my healing angel. The psychic I met told me I would meet a healing angel. So I was in Utah, Mount Zion, looking for my healing angel. So he said, you should probably go to Sedona. It's in Arizona. I said, I never heard of it. And I look up Sedona, Arizona. It's the 33rd most spiritual place. So I cancel my trip. I cancel my trip in Mount Zion. And I decide to go to Arizona. I've never been here.
Of course, I keep screwing up the best story. I'm like, I keep screwing it up. Anyways, this woman is cray.
She's cray. Not healthy. So no. It's hard not to laugh because if you watch the video, she's just really.
I mean, she ended up breaking into his house and taking a shower.
Really?
Oh, yeah. She broke into his house, took a shower there.
Well, even that's understandable.
I mean, but she's. Can
never
we try the last clip at 3:07? I'm going to let him load it. Now he's fast.
Now he's fast.
All right.
And all my information. Loving him selflessly brought this information because everybody just wants to take. But if you just give and you don't stop giving, even if you don't receive, you all of a sudden receive a lot. I felt like I met my soulmate and everything was just the way it was. And I thought we would just do what everybody else did and we would just like get married and everything would be fine. But that's not what happened.
No, it's not, girl. No, it's not.
Well, it is true. Oh, that a lot of women run around thinking that the guys are just going to, they're going to meet them and they're all going to fall in love and they're going to float away on a happy trail. And so
65,000 texts later. And yeah. I think they asked her too. They were like, you know, you sent 65. And she literally said, oh, that's it. was a small number for a couple months. Like, I mean, if I would get carpal tunnel from that. I really would. So I'm shocked that she sent that many and people got it. Like, anyways, just be careful in that dating world, people, because when someone sends you more than I think 10 texts, then it gets a little cray.
10's your limit. Yes, all right. Well, moving right along to our Connecticut brethren here. We have a story for you in case you weren't paying attention. We're bringing a little Connecticut news into our Defiant Hustle radio show this week. So hold on.
A lawmaker in Connecticut still pushing to end daylight saving time. Stafford Congressman Kurt Vail again seeking federal approval to change the state's time zone from Eastern to Atlantic Standard Time. You recall back in 2017, a Massachusetts panel found the change could be beneficial so long as other northeastern states followed suit.
Change the time. I'm following suit.
So they are proposing legislation seeking federal approval to change Connecticut's time zone from Eastern to AST, Atlantic Standard Time. They would need to have Massachusetts and Rhode Island on board with this change, and they believe it would be beneficial.
Why?
Because they said it's so dark that commerce goes down during these dark months, and we would save energy. That one, I'm not 100% sure. There would be less depression.
Okay.
And there would be less car accidents, among other things. So
a lot going on with was it an hour time change?
It would be an hour forward. So you'd be getting up and there'd be a little bit more light. So that is one of the... Well, that's our politicians at work. Actually, I like that idea. I kind of like that idea too
because I was like, I was walking a dog this morning and I was like, I can't see crap. I'm like, I could not see anything.
What did the dog say?
the dog's like, if I crap, you can't see it. So.
All right, I'm like her mother.
I know. She's like, Daisy, behave. I am good in some senses because this year I did do something which I've never done before, which was I got my flu shot. Did you get yours?
I did the opposite. I didn't get my flu shot, but I think it's because time is just going by so fast. I never got a chance. I used to get it at the CVS here in Greenwich just because they sort of strong arm you into it. And I did it for 2 years.
They're like, here's your gum. Here's your receipt. That's a Bible. And now get your
flu shot. You have to get a flu shot. Yeah. They give you the stink eye. So I didn't get it, but.
Did you get yours?
Yeah.
Oh, see,
well,
Josh
that's
got
why
his.
Josh looks so healthy. Over
yeah,
there.
Exactly.
I'm like all bleary eyed.
All right, so everyone stay away from Noreen. Apparently, what they told us in the news is that at least from now, well, I guess in this season, at least 6 million people have caught the flu this year. Maybe it's because the government shut down and our food's not being checked and germs and all this stuff. I don't know. But yeah, they're saying at least 6 million people have got the flu this year. Mr. Josh, can you play the clip?
According to the UPI, between 6 million and 7 million people have been diagnosed with the flu during the 2018-2019 season. The Centers for Disease Control reported that roughly half sought medication treatment, government officials say. The CDC gets its data from hospitals in 13 different geographic areas throughout the U.S. The CDC reported flu-like illnesses remain elevated in 15 states, plus New York City.
Plus New York City.
Yeah.
New York City's got its own influenza strain going there.
All right. So don't be Noreen. It's not too late. You should go get your flu shot. I feel like they give it out everywhere on the corner of this place and Whole Foods, you know, wherever. So just if you can get your flu shot because it's not too late, because already 6 to 7 million people is a lot of people to be infected.
Since 2010, the yearly total. You know I like my statistics. So since 2010, the yearly total number of flu cases has ranged from 9.3 million in 2011-2012 season, 9.3 million to 49 million cases in the 2017-2018 season.
That's a lot of cleaners.
That is a lot of flu.
Yeah.
To go up from 9 million to 49 million, now that is a big percentage for somebody who likes statistics. But, you know, there's a lot of controversy because a lot of people think that the government is up to something when it comes to flu vaccines.
Oh, you think that, like, they're injecting us with the flu?
They're injecting us with something. And then there is another story that might be a little controversial. You know, when you're watching the news channels, typically have, what is it, 23andMe and Ancestry.
You know, that was like a big gift this year, too, for Christmas. A lot of people like, and I saw a lot of stuff on social media. People were wanting this gift of the 23andMe. They were like, I've seen the commercials. Yes, I've seen them. I personally have no desire to do it because I'm like, I know I'm 100% Porto, like Portuguese.
Porto.
So I'm like,
I'm a Portuguese.
So I'm like, why do I need to know that like my ancestry goes back to that? Because I just know it goes back to that. However, I understand people want to know their ancestry and like where they came from. If they got a little bit of this in them and a little bit of that. Have you done it?
I don't know. I'm not doing it. You can call it whatever you want. I am skeptical when I watch those news programs of anything that's being pitched, because I think a lot of the people who watch news are in a trance when they're watching it. I'm not saying whether it's good or bad, but you get entranced by it.
You do.
And then they start pushing drugs on you and tell you to ask your doctor about the drugs, and you're like, I think I need that drug.
Yeah.
Even if you don't need the drug. And then you look at this Ancestry.com and 23andMe, which I still haven't decoded that one. But why do I need this? And why do I need this on my news channel? So it makes me, I'm not trusting anybody in this government anymore. So
Josh, have you done it?
No.
Okay.
No.
He's got his flu shot, people. That's the most important
thing.
I know.
So at least he's got it. But they're saying this, so they're taking the DNA, and I don't trust that. What are these companies doing with your DNA? Why are they?
They want to find out what you are. Maybe you're a little Irish. Maybe they want to tell you you're a little Irish.
Yeah, but I bet you they're going to use it to do some testing, just like they do it with the big data that they do on the technology, and they're watching what you do then. So anyway, but that's me.
Okay,
you can call me a conspiracy theorist. But what they are doing that is positive is there were at least two high profile decades old crimes that where they were able to identify the killers recently, and they had gone silent. What is that called? A cold case for decades. But
it's a good show.
Cold Case?
I've never seen it, but I've heard it's a good show.
Oh, thank you. She just says anything. The most famously, Joseph D'Angelo, the so-called Golden State Killer. That's nice. It's a Golden State, but he's the Golden State Killer. He was arrested in April of 2018 and now faces multiple charges of murder and rape.
And this is 30 years, right? 30 years ago, yeah.
So,
I mean, that's kind of amazing that, like, not only can you find out, like, oh, I'm like 2% Irish. Oh, we just found out someone killed somebody 30 years ago.
We found out that you killed somebody.
Yeah.
Well, he was arrested after police were able to use public genealogy databases, to link him to DNA from the crime scenes. Mr. Josh, are you paying attention? Please play the clip.
I decided to have my DNA tested through Ancestry DNA. The big surprise was we're not German at all. 52% of my DNA comes from Scotland and Ireland. So I traded in my lederhosen for a kilt.
Ah, yes. Ads for genealogy sites like 23andMe and Ancestry.com are hard to miss. For a few $100 and a sample of saliva, you too can discover if your ancestors were kings and queens. Or, as we're learning now, someone much more sinister.
Had law enforcement never had access to genetic genealogy, I don't believe this case could ever be solved.
Last week, police in Washington State made an arrest in the 30-year-old killing of a Canadian couple. Victoria natives Jay Cook and Tanya Van Kallenborg were brutally murdered near Seattle in 1987. Police retrieved the killer's DNA from the crime scene, but back then, it didn't match anyone on their database of known offenders. So the case remained unsolved until now, much to the relief of the victim's family.
I mean, that's kind of amazing. I bet anything they're going to now do, like a show about this, watch. It's going to be like, they're going to call it like 23andMe. It's going to be this new show on NBC. We discover all these old cases by taking all this information.
I'm sure they're out there taking all this information. They must be combing through everything.
She is so paranoid.
No, I'm saying this is positive. If I was a police department and I had cold cases and DNA on hand, I'd be going, if it's public record, then you should be going through it, shouldn't you?
Yeah, maybe because they want to be like that. I just feel like there's so much crime to begin with. I mean, to go back, I guess, yes, it's redemption for the families and stuff that suffered through these things.
Well, now that you can do it, you might as well.
Right?
So, okay.
So what
moving right along, Daisy, what else?
Speaking of things I do want to do and what I don't want to do is, one thing I know for sure I do not want to do is I do not want to go to a restaurant and I do not want to eat naked. Okay?
That's not what you told me.
That's so true. So unfortunately, for people that do have this dream in their lives, I am the sad bearer of news that the restaurant in Paris, which was the first nude restaurant, closes for the lack of business. I wonder why. So this restaurant opened about a year ago, and the concept was you get naked and you have a meal. Now, I know that there's been a lot of concept restaurants, you know, the one where get blindfolded, eat your food, hold your hand with somebody, eat your food,
really?
Sit at a table, eat your food. How about I just sit at the table and eat my food? Like, I don't need a concept to go and eat my food.
While you eat your
no,
food.
I don't, because I'm like, I don't know what I'm eating. And I also don't want to be butt naked in front of strangers and like have a meal. Like, I'm going to have spaghetti. Like, do you know what that does to your body after you have the spaghetti? Like, blows up your stomach.
It's true.
However, they do let you wear, if you want to be a lady, they did let you wear the heels if you wanted to keep those on. And like, they let, like, so we have a clip of, they explain the concept of the restaurant.
Of this Paris restaurant that just closed down called Au Naturel.
I thought Au Naturel was going to be an organic restaurant or something. And it turns out it's very organic, right? So how does this restaurant work? Basically, you walk in, you take off all your clothes, you leave them at the front door, and the only thing you're allowed to wear are the free slippers that they give you. Or, if you're a lady, you get to keep your high heels. And then you make your way to your table where the seats have got single-use cover on them. Because hygiene's our top priority.
So unfortunately, if you do want to keep the concept alive, go home. Take your clothes off. Put a little, I guess, a little towel down. Keep your heels on, ladies, and then have
put
your dinner.
Put a little towel down.
Yeah, that's and what they
course,
do. But
well, that's what in the, you can't see this, of course, because this is the radio. But if you watch that clip, he's sniffing the chair.
Oh, I mean, that's nasty.
So once these naked customers, once the customers are naked, they could have, if it wasn't closed, enjoyed a 3-course dinner with, I'm going to mess this up, foie gras, lobster, snails, lamb, or scallops for a price of $58.
Which is actually not a bad deal.
And now I'm reconsidering, but it's closed.
Yeah. It's okay. You can buy all those things and take out little Uber Eats and then just sit at home and eat them naked yourself.
Why don't you do here, Daisy? Do this one here. Well, we got 5. We're getting the countdown, so we can fit in 2 more stories.
Sure.
We can end on a bad note, so we have to do this one.
Oh, okay. So we're gonna do this one. We're gonna do a little. So a new report from the Safety Council says that for the first time in history, car crashes are being now surpassed by an opioid overdose. It's this epidemic that's been happening all over America. Americans now have 1 in 96 chance of dying from an opioid overdose. I can't even say it. according to the council's analysis of the 2017 data on accidental death, the probability of dying in a motor vehicle crash is 1 in 103. And so 1 in 96 is a chance of Americans dying from opioid overdose, and then it's 1 in 103 is a motor vehicle, which I get, like,
or a combination thereof.
Yeah,
they didn't calculate that, but go ahead with that because we have another one. So let's go ahead and play.
The odds of dying from an accidental opioid overdose are now higher than from a car crash. According to UPI, in 2017, the odds of dying from opioid use rose to 1 in 96. The leading cause of preventable death is suicide, with 1 in 88 odds. The National Institute on Drug Abuse reports that more than 115 people die each day from opioid overdoses.
So that's not very good, folks. So
no, but it's also sad because
it's very sad.
It's you know, people hurt themselves. They get a prescription. The prescription turns to this. It turns to this, and then it becomes this epidemic that's happening. And I think America's very much drugged. They're like, oh, you don't feel good? Here, take this drug. Oh, you're depressed? Take this drug. It's become this pill popping society.
It has been for a long time,
and now it's surpassing accidents. I mean,
it's sad.
I don't want to end on a sad note.
We don't want to end on a sad note, and we are running out of time. Otherwise, we'd talk about it more. But on a positive note, I'll be the nerd of the group as usual. But we have a science story for you, and so less than a year after its launch, Tess is already finding bizarre worlds.
Who is Tess?
So the next generation of exoplanet hunters is coming into its own. NASA's Transiting Exoplanet Survey Satellite.
I like Tess better than
Tess,
that.
Has already found 8 confirmed planets in the 4 months of observing that it's been doing. Sorry, that sentence didn't end that well.
Try again.
Okay, and it also found more than 320 unconfirmed candidate planets. So let's play a little of this little freaky guy talking about space.
Science orbit. Now, Tess is in an unusual spot. It is circling way outside the planets of the solar system, the plane of the planets, in a highly elliptical orbit that will maximize the amount of sky that the spacecraft can image, allowing it to continuously monitor large swaths of the sky. So now, as of July 25th, TESS is officially online and taking survey images. It's expected to transmit its first series of science data back to Earth this month, and it will do so thereafter periodically, every 13 and a half days, which is basically once per orbit.
That was it. Okay, we're out there. NASA is out there. It's replaced the Kepler, which was the initial, I don't know what you call these things, the initial transiting exoplanet that was taking pictures in space, but was only able to take them in one direction. And the difference between this next generation, the TESS is able to take, let me see how they explain this. Over 2 years, TESS will cover the entire 360 degrees of sky visible from Earth's orbit. It is going to send down pictures every month, twice a month, and we are going to learn if there are more planets out there other than this eight that has already been found.
And so aliens. We're going to know about aliens.
Aliens are coming. So
lots of aliens. So we learned about the shutdown. We learned about tests. We learned about a crazy lady and her 65,000 texts. Some genetic genealogy. Why does this stuff matter? I don't know. Because we thought it would.
We don't know why it doesn't matter. But Daisy and I like to entertain ourselves, and we hope you were entertained.
Yep.
This has been Defy and Hustle Radio. I'm Noreen Ehrlich. My co-host here, the beautiful Daisy Mello.
Hello. Join us next week. We have an author, Eric.
Dr. Eric Fraser, and he's going to talk to us. He's an author of a new book that tells you how to get and retain talent in your business. But he's brilliant. He works with a lot of attorneys to assess people in the legal industry that are criminals or potential criminals. And he's just really brilliant young doctor who has got a great book. So be there next week when we have on Dr. Eric Fraser. Thank you, everybody, and have a great week. We'll talk to you next week. Signing off from Defy and Hustle Radio. Bye-bye.